The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, the DraftKings Network. Good Friday once again. Football, football, football. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, producer number nine, so much more than a producer, live from Bar Canada here at the D. How you doing?
Doing just great, my man. How are you?
Divisional round, man.
Let's go.
As awesome as wild card round, but almost as awesome.
Almost. We've got, I think, professional field hockey on behind us as well. Big day at the D up at Bar Canada.
Yeah.
A lot going on up here.
You got like 10 dimes on that field hockey?
Well, of course, yeah. I didn't know they played on a blue field.
I don't know what the screen you're talking about. Well, we'll get updates on field hockey throughout the morning, too, from Kelly. It is all about football, including a little global football from Paul Carr a little later on, if you want some Premier League action, you know, that kind of thing. But it's the NFL. Matt Brown will join us to talk all four division round games, and Jason Weingarten will check in as well. We got props for the weekend to discuss, and we'll get into our picks, Kelly and mine, here early, and we'll do it as a reminder late, but we'll get into it momentarily. First, though, because I am contractually obligated to do so. An Australian Open update. It's not from Adelaide. It's from Melbourne. We went 1-2. Again, my picks are at VSiN.com/picks. Every show host, every guest on the network with all of their picks in every sport at VSiN.com/picks. My Australian Open tennis picks always go up at some point after this show. Again, with the time zone difference, I won't have them for that day's coming matches on the show here on a numbers game itself. I'll handicap it after the show. Yesterday, Kelly, and this is the beauty of it, 1-2. And a nice winning day. Why?
Nice.
Nice is right. Nice.
Would you have like a +310 or something?
How about a +334, my friend?
Hey, even better.
Maria Timofeva. She got it done against Beatriz Haddad-Maia from Brazil. You know those two, don't you?
Obviously, yes.
Maria Timofeva, who's a qualifier. She gets the round of 16. She did it as a +334 dog. The numbers, I thought, triggered a big play there, and so it did work out. By the way, we lost the other two, which were also dogs. We should have gone 3-0. The first one was Tomas Makash, who was 2 of 19 on break points. It's like backing a baseball team where they go 2 of 19 with runners in scoring position. So we lose that one.
Come on, Tomas, get it together.
And then Anastasia Zakharova. I have no idea how she lost to Magdalena Frick. But anyway, we get the winning day nonetheless with the big 334 dog coming through. And so
how often do qualifiers make it that far?
In slams.
We're round to 16 now? Is that what you said?
We're halfway through the third round, so after today, we will have the rounds of 16 set in both sides.
But she qualified for round of 16?
She is already through to the round of 16, yes.
How many qualifiers do we usually see get to the round of 16?
Not very frequently.
Okay.
And of course, the greatest example of that was Emma Raducanu winning the U.S. Open as a qualifier a few years back.
She was a qualifier?
Yeah. It's never happened before. May never happen again. It was just this remarkable run where she just destroyed everybody in her wake. So,
but you were high on her that tournament, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
We hit on her all the time.
Is this just a dumb tennis rankings thing? Like kind of like golf, like world golf rankings or
no? No, it's just that if you're not used to playing on the main tour, if you haven't played on the main tour in the way that others have, you haven't accumulated points. You've got to qualify to make the field. So you've got to win a few matches to even make the field. And then once you're in that, nobody expects you because your level of competition is so much higher than you're used to playing.
Gotcha.
That's how I knew about Iga in advance. That's how you know about these players in advance. Their numbers on the lower tours are so massive that it can translate even when their competition raises.
Gotcha. Okay.
So anyway, good night for us. Night before was great too. We'll get all the picks at VSiN.com/picks. And just from a macro standpoint, Djokovic into the round of 16. Tough wrist injury and tough cold he's experiencing. He just destroyed Tomas Martin Echeverry.
It's irritating me though, Gil, because I haven't made my usual Novak bet yet still because of it.
He's ridiculous.
Now I'm what is now the time? Are we thinking all good, all clear?
No, not all clear. Alcaraz is still there. Sinner's still there.
I'm talking about his wrist and his cold.
I think that part's clear.
I'm fine if I go down to Carlito, but no.
Nobody of real import has gotten upset on the men's side, in my opinion. And then on the women's side, 6 of the top 10 are gone.
Real quick, I had to laugh when I was typing these up this morning because of the Reggie celebration we got for a win yesterday. And then you're like, you're 10-1, 13-1 now, actually.
It's gone back, yeah. And then on the women's side, we're, again, halfway through the third round. Iga plays her third round game tonight. It's midnight Pacific, 3 a.m. Eastern. So in the dead of the night against Linda Noskova, this of her 7-match gauntlet ought to be the easiest of the bunch. That's how I would have handicapped it before and did so before this tournament started. So Iga in action tonight. Coco through, Aryna Sabalenka through, and Mira Andreeva with an amazing comeback in the third set. For those who had her last night, she was down 5-1 in that final set. So that's where all that stands. Football. All right, Kelly, here's what I have in pocket, and I end up with a play on every game.
Yeah.
As it turns out, if you listen to the Megapod, you heard two of them beating the book Megapod again with Drew Dinsick this week. But here's what I have in pocket. I have in game, we'll do these chronologically. Tomorrow in the early Houston Texans Memorial early Saturday window, I've got the Ravens in the first half. I laid the points with the Ravens in the first half. This is a sort of nod to how the Ravens came out against the Lions, how they smoked the Seahawks early, how they smoked the Dolphins early, smoked the Browns early, smoked the Bengals early. I'm just trying to riff off all of these. They crushed really good competition, and they punched him in the mouth early. So I took the Ravens -6.5 in the first half. Could I have done the full game? Yes, because this weekend harkens back, in my opinion, to those of us of a certain age. This feels like the 80s and 90s of Niners and Cowboys and Giants and Skins, where the cream of the crop, Bears in their year, the cream of the crop rises. And I think the Ravens and Niners both do. I just happened to take the Ravens in the first half in that ball game. I think they assert themselves here. And I feel the same about the Niners, but I took the Niners, laid the 9.5 for the game. I think the Niners score at will this weekend against the Packers. And I do think, and I've been as bullish on Jordan Love as anybody. Good Lord, I've given that clipboard speech a million times on this show. But I do think that asking him to keep up with this juggernaut of an offense is too much of a task, and I think the Niners defense will be up to it. And so I think you're going to see the Ravens roll, and I think you're going to see the Niners roll. And by the way, for those who love upsets and stuff, I don't at this time of year. I want to see the best advance to the Super Bowl, and I think both of them do. Am I talking through my bets? No, I don't think I am. I think both teams are going to roll, even if I didn't have bets on the Niners and Ravens to get there. And for those who are like, hey, wait a minute, Lamar Jackson has only won one postseason game. Brock Purdy, we've seen him have bad performances in the biggest of situations. Let's put it this way. Even to that crowd, I would say, not this week. That ain't going to happen this week. Sunday, I did take the Lions -6. I think the Bucks are the worst of the bunch of this group of eight. I think the Lions do enough to get it done. With the one caveat, Kelly, of if Dan Campbell doesn't make a bad high leverage situation that destroys that bet. And then in the end, I took the Chiefs +3, -123. I took the Chiefs. I didn't think I would have a play in this game. Mm-hmm. But in the end, the Bills are too banged up. And it's Patrick Mahomes. And I couldn't see myself not having a position on the best player in football plus points. And I don't know if you know this, on the road for the first time in the postseason.
No, what?
No, I don't know. This is the only show that's got that information.
Patrick Mahomes has never played a road playoff game?
I don't know if you're aware of this. Do you also know this thing about Mike Tomlin? I'm just hearing about. What do you have?
All right, here's what I've got. I've got nothing currently in the first game. Like you, there was one game that I didn't have anything in yet. But there's only one way I'd go with that. I think it would be some kind of Texans bet of some kind. I don't know. I'm not as confident in you as Lamar is going to come out and wreck. And this CJ Stroud just can't be held back. But I got nothing in that for now. I'm skipping that. I might just be watching that out of pure entertainment. So starting later that night, I did Packers 49ers over 50. Really like that bet. And then we talked about this. I also did the team total on the Niners. Do like the Niners side a little bit more.
I think I'm going to have that by game time.
I played more on the actual game total, though. I do think the Packers offense is going to be able to come out here and still move the ball a little bit. So it did more on the game total. Split this like 70-30 between game total and team total over on the Niners. I think if you would have asked me a week ago, I would have been heavier on the team total than the game total. But yeah, Packers were impressive last week. I had my doubts about that offense coming in there and being able to put up big numbers like they did, and they absolutely did against Dallas.
By the way, real quick, not to interrupt, early game in Baltimore, wind about 15 miles per hour, which is right teetering on when it matters and doesn't matter, quite frankly. And then in San Francisco, rain, but no problem with the wind.
Did you check on that this morning?
Yes.
I thought we were starting to trend a little better for Santa Clara.
I checked on it this morning. Well, you know what? To be honest with you, I did San Francisco. I didn't do Santa Clara.
So you're right. Jeez, Gil, come on.
Bay Area guy. I made that mistake. I apologize.
Okay, then my other two. I'm with you on the Lions. That was a small bet for me. I was also able to catch on 5.5 in an opener. So I got in small there. I was happy getting in. I will not be adding to that position. I think that there are still some concerns in my mind, just kind of that we've voiced all season long about the Lions. And yes, I don't know if that secondary is going to be able to how easily are they going to be able to slow down the Bucs passing attack, which obviously last week was looking quite good. So I'm in on that side. And then I'm on the Bills too. I did lay the 2.5. So you and I will be Oppo. Don't feel, great about going up against Patrick Mahomes catching 3 points. It feels like one of those silly bets, but it feels like one of those bets that I really like. This Bills defense, it's been better and better. I know they suffered some injuries in last week's game. That might hurt them a little bit this week, but Josh Allen playing great, this defense playing great. Bring it on, Patty Mahomes. Prove it to him.
He's got to prove it to you.
If
the Chiefs win, can we get at least 30 seconds from you on Monday just killing yourself about it?
Yes, absolutely.
Matt Brown with all his takes on the divisional round. Next, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Start your morning with a daily dose of winning strategies, insider tips, and the latest buzz with the free VSiN Daily Newsletter. In today's newsletter, all about the division round games, Zach Cohen on the Australian Open, deep dive into all kinds of stuff, get expert analysis, and the latest odds delivered straight to your inbox absolutely free. Visit VSiN.com/newsletter to subscribe. Gil Alexander, Kelly Billen from Barcanada here at the D. Downtown Las Vegas, the Barrage. And as always, on Fridays during the football season, we are graced by the presence of the host of the All Angles Football Betting Podcast and, of course, The Handle Weekends here at the network with Mike Somich. It's Matt Brown, everybody. How you doing, Mateo?
Doing well. For our video subscribers out there, if you were looking at that promo, you see the little cartoon character in the upper left-hand corner?
Yes,
and
sir.
That is actually good enough to identify Bill if you ever see him over at Circa.
It really is.
You could look at that, and you could walk through, and you'd be like, oh, that's that guy.
Yeah.
Like, you would know.
Does he pop his collar
like that, though?
I don't know. I don't know. That might have just been added for some extra sass,
Sass.
Yeah, it's one of those, though, like we've all known Bill for a long time at this point, the three of us. It's one of those, though, the picture can convince me. You know what I mean? Where I'm like, I can't remember now.
If he doesn't, he should look into it.
Exactly. I think he'd pull it off rather well, as this cartoon shows you.
This is something I will be looking for when I see him next. I'm like, do you ever pop your collar? Was that just an add-on?
But like aggressively suggest that maybe you should right now.
Yeah.
And don't leave till he does.
Oh, well, if he doesn't have it, I'm going to be like, come here. And I'm just going to take it and I'm going to pop it. And I'm just going to be like, yeah, that works. Yeah, that's exactly it.
All right, we're going to get Matt's thoughts here on all these four games chronologically. I was going to promo something.
Okay, do this, and then I want to hijack this segment for at least 2 minutes.
Oh, we might be talking about
the same damn thing. Go ahead.
Kelly teased yesterday that you have an unbelievable Kelly Bidlin story.
Oh, yeah.
Did you want to do that here?
Or do we want to do it right off the bat.
Okay, go ahead.
We have to do it right off the bat.
Okay.
So,
go ahead.
Kelly and I decided to. Kelly and I went to an opening of a new show here in town.
Yeah,
And we're sitting there, and you know, the show is it's different from other shows. There's, you know, and like there's a lot of dancing, a lot of different stuff going on out there. It's not like your typical just acrobatics show, you know.
Why won't you say the show? Is it Thunder Down Under? Like, why won't you say the show?
No, it was a show.
Because he doesn't remember the name.
Voltaire at Venetian or whatever.
Okay.
So anyhow, we're at the show, and you know, couple of cocktails, we're having fun, everything's great, and we're sitting there, and then Kelly decides at some point to, you know, do the woo or whatever, you know, like scream, like do a little like woo.
This story's already gotten off track.
Or whatever. And here's the thing. The MC happens to be right around next to us to the show.
Oh boy.
A little break in the acts. Yeah. So they go to play to the audience. Okay. Yeah. I didn't do any woo. I don't know what that was.
It was you. Reason he pointed you out was because you vocalized some sort of something.
Yeah, okay. You know, I did vocalize something because he was standing like right in front of me. So I was kind of like, all right, if you need someone to like be a part of this, get out of my way, I'll be a part of it. And that's why.
Hey, Kelly, this is about you. You don't get to tell.
You don't get to. And also, I don't know if you have the best, I don't know if you have 100% clear recollection of what was going on. And then, so anyway, he now gets the attention of the MC. Yes. So the MC just turns around and is like, all right, so you're going to be my guy, you know, and he walks over. And the guy starts like leading the witness, right? Kelly makes up in his mind what the guy is going to ask him. So he's like, so tell us, Kelly. And he's got the microphone. He's like,
this is so true.
I want you to tell us your deepest, darkest. And Kelly had made up in his mind that he was about to ask him his fear, like his deepest, darkest fear.
Right? That is nailing the story.
So he's made up in his mind. He's made up in his mind that this guy's about to ask him his deepest, darkest fear. And instead, the guy goes, your deepest, darkest fantasy. And he hands the microphone over to Kelly. And Kelly goes, snakes. He said, your deepest, darkest fantasy. And Kelly goes, snakes, into the microphone in front of the whole room.
Everybody dying?
He's on the camera. He's on everything. And the guy goes, tell us your deepest, darkest. And Kelly's like, fear. And I've got this.
Snakes.
Yeah, I've got this. And he goes, fantasy. And Kelly goes, snakes. The guy looked at him like, what the hell? Like, seriously, the guy like gave him the weirdest look ever. The guy was like, what the hell? Your deepest, darkest fantasy is snakes. You're like, you weirdo.
Oh, my God.
It was so great.
All right, I'm allowed to comment now?
I'm kidding, yes, of course.
Matt did an unbelievable retelling of that. And I would like to say, after I answered, it was the... Matt built it up perfectly. That's exactly what was running through my mind. As soon as I said it, I'm like, wait, what just happened? That wasn't the question, right? And then, Gil, I do this, right? Like, I realize I screwed up, and I look over to Matt, and Matt being the great poker player that he is, I can see it on his face, and he's looking at me, he's like, not your biggest fear, bro. And I'm like, Matt knew exactly what I was thinking the whole time.
It was
the leading question that this slow cadence.
Oh, it's his fault.
Yes, Gil, it was. No, but it was like, it gave me way too much time to think about it. I'm like, oh, I've got one fear that I am glad to throw out there because I hate snakes.
Do you have a couple in you by this point when this happened?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was so great though. I was just crying.
I wish I could blame it on that kill, but I really wasn't bad.
So great.
Anyway, if anyone's wondering, Kelly's deepest, darkest fantasies. Snakes.
I do have to appreciate Kelly though, because you are so willing to put yourself out there no matter the situation like that. Kelly's the first person to raise hand, like, I'll be the star.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Snakes.
That was terrible. Usually in those shows, I would not involve myself. The only part of that, Matt, I don't think you caught that, was the guy was right in front of me. I was kind of like, I don't want to stare at this guy's backside while he talks to the whole audience. So, like, let me be a part of the show, then. That's fine. Which was clearly a bad call.
I don't know how you segue to Baltimore and the Texans.
Let's do it.
But somehow you do.
Oh, man. So good.
What do you got Saturday morning?
You know, this is the one that I have left off of the card this week. The thing is the number. I have this in like an alt. I have this kind of in an alt deal. So here is something that is available to everyone out there, and we have only got it recently. And so I've started messing around with these deals to where it's like, you don't have to play just the the cookie cutter teaser anymore because we are able to just go in and adjust our own lines and then combine the two lines the way that we want them to be. And so I took this down to Ravens minus 2.5 to take up another one of the numbers to just lesser than a teaser, and then ended up getting the same price as I would have gotten on a teaser, right? Because you can't obviously get a 9.5 down to the 2.5 without doing a 7-pointer, and then they charge you $1 billion in juice with that. So basically I took the Ravens down to 2.5 and then the Chiefs up, and we'll talk about the Chiefs game later. And with that, still ended up getting the minus 120 on it, even though I didn't get the full 6 points with the Chiefs. I still got it on the other side of the 7. And then I just took the Ravens down further to get them under the field goal. So something that I've been messing around with a little bit more here.
I call this the Ben Wilson special on Sundays because he does this often. But yeah, with all these books that are out there now, and I don't know if you did it at Caesars. Yeah. I feel like they're the only one we have in town.
Yeah, you can name your own line.
But yes, you can name your own line and then you just parlay them together and you can do it like a mini teaser one way or the other.
Yeah.
Thank you for clarifying that, because I think there was a portion of the audience that was still like, wait, what did he do?
Yeah.
So it's the fact that the books offer these options specifically now.
Yeah, that you can just go in with the slider and manipulate the line.
Gotcha.
And so you just manipulate the line one way, you manipulate the line the other way. It basically just makes you my own little personalized teaser, you know. It's just a parlay of two alt lines essentially, and was able to do that. But
what makes you uncomfortable about the points here?
The uncomfortability factor for me is the fact that there is a lot of explosive plays from the Texans. And I do wonder that even if this thing is sitting 14 in the fourth quarter, like, do I feel super, super comfortable that CJ Stroud and them can't chase? I know that there's going to be some weather concerns here and all that, but I don't think it's to the point where we're thinking they're not going to be able to move the ball. So that doesn't really, that has me a little bit of pause here in that, but I like I do like the Ravens. I'm not in love with the Ravens as much as everyone else is, but it's mainly from the offensive side of things. The defense has been absolutely spectacular. I mean, the defense has been unbelievable. In the way that McDonald's been able to mix up coverages and the way that he does the stuff, these guys that are way smarter than me break it all down on Twitter. And if you guys don't follow these guys that do these post-game breakdowns, you should, because it's absolutely amazing. But you know, it shows how they hide these coverage and disguise these things so incredibly well that just confuses quarterbacks like all over the place. And so there's I don't think the Texans go crazy scoring here, but I do wonder if this thing's double digits late in the fourth is the back door. And that's the only thing that kind of won't get me there.
I went first half on the Ravens, so I guess I kind of am feeling what you're saying there. Snakes, everybody.
Snakes.
I think my favorite part of that story was that Matt told it consecutively. It was so, in case anybody missed it, he said it again.
I mean, he would talk through what was going through my brain exactly.
All right, Matt does have a bevy of picks on the other three, including two from the late game on Saturday between the Niners and the Packers. We'll do that next. Matt Brown in studio. At the table, I should say, right here on a numbers game.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
With Omaha Steaks, you'll fall in love at first bite with their tender steaks, juicy burgers, air-chilled chicken, and more. You're going to love every bite. It's Omaha Steaks guarantee. And for a limited time, when you go to omahasteaks.com/VSiN, you'll get 4 free air-chilled boneless chicken breasts and 4 free rich, juicy boneless pork chops with your order. Minimum purchase may apply. It's Gil Alexander. Oh, we get tweets. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from the Milk Gallon. Nothing like starting a Friday with a plus 330 dog. You the man. Ah, man, we're all pumped about Maria Timofeva. Cricket Man, Coco is coasting, Medvedev working overtime. Is there any edge, good or bad, from this? In the case of Medvedev, a lot of people are going to say, oh, well, he played till 3:30, 3:40 in the morning. He's like the one guy that I don't think gets affected by that kind of stuff. Like, it's not how his brain or his body works. I think he'll be all right. If he loses, it's not because of that. The better life, Tim Lawson. Snow day in D.C. means staying at home and taking in a numbers game. Thank you, Tim. Always appreciate that. And the Megapod historian, that is Tim Lawson, by the way. He's got all the Megapod stats. Mike Zills, Duke 90, says, love you, Gilly. He did a parlay. He did Sinner, Djokovic, Goff, and Timofeva. which is the big parlay booster there. You got it, man. Congratulations.
One pending, right? He's got to get Alcaraz home, I believe.
Oh, does he have one pending?
Looking at the same
one. I didn't click on it. Yeah, he's got Alcaraz pending.
But that's a nice.
He should be aight.
Nice $200 bet to win $1,200.
Yeah. Charlie D USA number one says Patrick Mahomes not fond of Kelly's prove it comment. We got emojis. And then, oh, here comes the snake. Bobby Knuckles, snakes, bees, bets. Hearing Matt Brown telling Kelly's story on a numbers game with Gil has me crying first thing this morning. Ryan Thompson, Kelly Bidlin's future screenplay, snakes on a plane, an erotic journey. Jason Schomburg is a good point. Now we need to know how Kelly would have answered the question that was asked.
I don't even know what the real answer was. No, A, I'm not answering that on this show. That was more appropriate for the other show. So, yeah, but I don't... Matt, I was so blinded in the moment, I don't even really know what his actual question was.
Deepest, darkest fantasy?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
The one thing, Gil, after I turned over to Matt, we had that little interaction, like Matt said, when I turned back to the guy, he was already gone.
He was like, I gotta save this somehow. I need to talk to someone else.
I didn't sign up for this. Yeah. I didn't sign up for this gig.
I don't have a snappy retort for that. Like, I thought, like, anything anyone says, like, I had something in my head. And he's like, snakes, I gotta get out of here.
Nate Goggins, is it safe to say snakes on a plane is like everyone else watching 50 Shades of Grey for Kelly?
Oh, it's so good.
And one more, Jason Starr, K. Kelly, my deepest fear is snakes too. So much so that when I first was dating my wife, my father and brother put a fake snake in our tent and she sent me in to get something. I thought it was real and blamed her. It nearly cost me my future wife. I think he took that seriously. Yeah.
Well, hey, yeah. I appreciate it. I don't like snakes either.
Kelly's fantasy plus fear of heights equals snakes on a plane. Everybody's got snakes jokes now. Nemesis Enforcer, finally. Am I the only one who thinks CJ is being overhyped? Oh, wait a minute. He says he throws downfield to wide receiver with yards of separation. Talking to my bro, said it reminded me of RG3's rookie season without the threat he would run to draw coverage in. Looked up stats, and RG3 had a 20-touchdown, 5-interception season. First of all, Nemesis, there will be no slander of RG3's rookie year. That was the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life.
I like that he's trying to compare a rookie of the year performance to RG3. Gil still thinks it as slander.
No. But he was saying RG3 had wide open receiver. RG3 was unbelievable that year. But he's right. RG3, we actually compared CJ Stroud stats to RG3's a few weeks ago. RG3's are kind of better because you have more rushing yards. And he scored a lot on the ground. But there is some, I understand what he's saying though. CJ Stroud has not played great defenses as a group. So that is I think that's a very fair assessment of Stroud. Otherwise, though, I mean, you can only play who's in front of him, right? Great season, and he deserves to be the rookie of the year.
I'm pumped for that game. I have no idea. Any result in that game, I don't think I'd be shocked by.
All right, Matt, the late game on Saturday, Packers, Niners, Niners favored by 10 in this one.
Yeah, I took the 10 with the Packers. For me, I think there's a couple of different things at play here in all this, and I can't deny it, and it's wild how good Jordan Love has gotten over the last eight, nine games of the season. It's been just unbelievable, and the fact that he's doing it with mostly backups is also the thing that's just crazy to me. Watson played last week, had one target. Like, he got all that done with everybody else, and it doesn't matter. The thing that I've started to see in Love, and you can see this also in just his distribution and the way that he's gone about it, is I think the evolution of him becoming a better quarterback is he doesn't lock in on a dude. It's kind of like, okay, this is the Dobbs week. This is the Wicks week. This is the whatever, you know, like, he's just going around giving the ball to anybody that's open. And, you know, Watson comes back last week. Like I said, get one target. His number one target came back in. He wasn't 100%. He didn't force feed the guy. I know that you talked about the Cooper Kupp stuff, but I mean, the guy comes back off injury, and a lot of younger quarterbacks would have looked and said, like, well, I got to get my guy back in, you know, whatever, we got to get him. Like, one target, you know, in the game. Instead, he went with the guys that were open. And
he's fantastic.
And Love
he's
has just been
awesome.
Has just been ridiculously good over this. And so are the 49ers a better team? Obviously, the 49ers are a better team. Yes. But do we think that the Packers are really all of a sudden just going to lose what they can do on the offensive side of the ball? My answer is no, which also has me on the over of 50 in this game. Which hasn't really moved my direction that much. Was it 50 and a half now or whatever? So, yeah, I mean, it's basically the same as when I got it.
Do you think that's just the rain or the threat of rain and weather or whatever that might be Because I'm on the over, too, and I expected it to go up a couple points.
I expected it to go up as well, which is like it opened at 50 over at Circa, and I hit the 50 as soon as I could because I thought this thing would go on the other side of 51, and it hasn't. Now, look, there's still time, but I thought it would already move by now. The efficiency of the Packers offense has been so incredibly good, and then the thing that we've talked about for the last few weeks on this show, the last stretch down the season, is as great as the 49ers offense has been, the defense has been league average, which is good, which is fine. When you are the number one, number two offense in the league, you can win basically every game you play if you have a league average defense. But that doesn't mean that these teams like the Packers that are coming in riding an incredible heater, getting awesome play calls, that are reading these defenses like left and right. I mean, it's I don't think that that means that they can't score. And I understand that the 49ers offense can kind of do whatever they want to. In the threat here of it not getting over to me is the 49ers getting a big lead and then McCaffrey just running over and over and over and over again. Like there is a threat to the over, which would be the Packers getting in a game state in which there is, you know, that the 49ers could just kind of take the air out of the ball, right? And like, so I'm minimally concerned about that, and you should be in a 10-point spread game, right? That the team that's favored by 10 gets in a really favorable situation. But
you took the 10. I laid the 9.5 with the Niners, so we're oppo there. But it is just as many 9.5s as 10s exist currently at this moment. And you also are on the over, and that in addition to your Packers bet. Let me ask you another thing. Steve Fezzik, friend of show, friend of network, has been, for those of us who are sort of texting back and forth for the whole week. He had a great point earlier in the week. I want to say Will did too on this, but Fez has definitely been talking about this, which is, and I made a small bet. I didn't even include it in my preflops, but I made a small bet on this. First quarter of this game, Matt LaFleur has shown a propensity here of late to take the football. He wants it first. Did so famously, obviously, last week as well. Kyle Shanahan defers. Green Bay first quarter is +3. With a little extra juice, like -125, and you can see it actually ticking upwards on this. Did you play any of that at all?
No, but that's a pretty good point to bring out from just also those, any of those first touchdown bets too, right? Like any of the first touchdown bets, like if you wanted to kind of load up on a lot of Packers, and they're probably all going to be fairly good numbers on those guys because they spread it around so much. Like, so there's no like McCaffrey that's going to be minus, you know, literally minus money or something, you know, like, there's nobody on that team that's like that, so it's probably decent little numbers on all that. I will say this:
a great point.
This first team to score prop, right? Yeah. There's usually that props usually up most places.
This Green Bay offense, man, I cannot believe what I've seen for the last two months. Like it has been unbelievable how they've been able to go out there and basically do. Now you get Aaron Jones back. We got to remember he was gone for a stretch, and like that guy's pretty important to that team. I know we're in the running backs don't matter era of football, but like the guy's pretty important to that team, and he comes back in there, and no shock that they look like an even better offense than they were whenever they were relying on AJ Dillon, who. Fine. He's fine. He's not Aaron Jones.
I believe it's 111 yards rushing or more in the past 5 weeks for Aaron Jones. Like he is back in a big way. I agree with you. We trash running backs all the time. He is one of those that matters to an offense.
First thing, AJ Dillon, leaflet. Just want to point that out. And secondly, I just want to bring up the Fezzik thing again, because I think regardless of what you are pre-flop, whichever side you're on, that is about as good of an angle of anything in any game this weekend, because you don't often now have a coach, right? All these guys know to defer these days. But in the case of Matt LaFleur, who has done a bang up job in Green Bay, he realizes it's like, now let me get my guy out there first and try to establish a lead rather than, you know, have to chase a team like San Francisco.
And I think he's smart enough in games where they are, you know, big underdogs. He understands that. Yeah. You don't want to like get behind like right off the bat.
Yeah. So good point by you also, like the first touchdowns, anything you can sort of play in that direction might be the play of the weekend. We'll get to the Sunday games. Matt's got one bet on the Bucks and the Lions. He's got two on the big one at the end. Oh, no, he's got one on each. My mistake. One on each of these. That's next. Numbers Game, VEASAN, the Sports Betting Network.
I
Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
DraftKings Sportsbook, official sports betting partner of the NFL playoffs, bringing you an offer that'll help make the playoffs electrifying. New customers can bet $5 on any game, get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VEGAS, only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code VEGAS. I'll spell that, V-E-G-A-S. You are welcome. The crown is yours. By the way, Kelly, I called my Apple Music peeps up yesterday. Seriously, did this. And asked them, what are the chances we can get Usher on Radio Row? And the quote... down the quote here.
Wait, this is actually a serious text you sent me yesterday?
Yes, this is serious. I wasn't messing around. Here's the quote was, whatever I sent you, he is not allowed to do anything before halftime show, Apple and CBS rule. To which I then replied, yeah, but it's me. What about for me? And they go, Gil, especially not for you. Because we know you want these halftime intel on this stuff. So no Usher on Radio Row.
Wow, bummer. Yeah, I mean, bummed. I don't know that they've, like, yeah, the halftime show people, I've never really seen anybody do anything before games.
Oh, yeah, no, remember once the rehearsal happens, it leaks, and then they take them down. It's the same story every year now with the halftime show.
I believe Adam Burke has a Reba McEntire breakdown on VSiN.com this morning. Yeah, we're already there.
We saw, like, the weirdest, and it's like Post Malone is singing America the Beautiful.
Yes. Yeah, Gil brought that up yesterday. I didn't believe it.
Post Malone, America the Beautiful.
Like, I want to see the duet Post Malone and Reba. Like, they need to just sing it together. Like, that would be amazing.
Adam Burke doing a little Reba breakdown. Wow. Okay.
I hope I have that.
Check that. Kelly might have made it up.
Yeah, that could also. Yes. That could also be fabricated.
I just want to.
I've said a lot of intelligent things this week.
There are a lot of reasons to go to VSiN.com. Maybe that's one of them. Maybe it's not. I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe it's not.
There's all kinds of snakes emojis on here from everybody, like Britney Spears with a snake, all this kind of stuff. But Roger Jones, he says, after hearing that snake story, it all makes sense why Oz Perlman had no hope against Kelly. That's right. That's the best. That's exactly right. Because Oz was like, I don't know what's happening in his brain. We had Oz the Mentalist on, and he could not crack Kelly.
Steel trap. I was a steel trap, man. He couldn't get in there.
I was like, why can't? Now we know. Because Kelly's just like not even on the same frequency.
Well, Kelly already knew what he was going to ask him. Yeah. He was like, Kelly had already had a guest, and he's like, oh no, he already knows what I'm going to ask him. Well, this is no good. That's not how this works.
Sunday morning,
so good.
Detroit, Tampa Bay. One intrepid reporter asking Todd Bowles how they're going to adjust to the weather in Detroit. A long lead-in.
Yeah.
And Bowles was kind of nice about it. He was like, well, you know, we're only going to be out there for 20 seconds kind of thing. But he didn't want to kill it.
Yeah. They're in a dome and have been since you've been alive.
Yeah.
Because it's been like 50 years. So it's like, since you've been alive, they've been in a dome.
You played a total here?
Yeah, this was also an over for me at 48.5. I think it's still available, actually. So I'm not on the right side of any of these numbers this week, like it seems. But both of these defenses are very, very good against the run. And I don't think that you're going to just kind of bang your head against the wall over and over again. I mean, Detroit, Ben Johnson certainly has proven to be one of the hottest offensive coordinators in all the NFL. I think that he's a sharp guy. I don't think that he's going to go out there and run it into the line a million times if it's not working. And then certainly Tampa didn't have any run game all year long as it is anyway. They were terrible. And then you look at Detroit's defense. Weirdly enough, as horrible as their defense is against the pass, they are equally as good against the run. And so it's going to just force Baker Mayfield and them to throw it all over the place in this. And, you know, again, passing is more efficient. Passing is also where you get the splash plays. Passing is how you score quicker. And the other thing that leads into this, too, is like Dan Campbell, I think, is proven now. And I don't know if this is just since he's done it so many times, he has to be like, oh, I'm going to keep doing it because that's my brand.
Right.
But like he's going to go for it on fourth down situation. Like he's not settling for threes and stuff and things like that. Right. And so that also it can certainly hurt an over sometimes, too, whenever he passes up on a, you know, what could be points, but because he wants to go for it on fourth and nine as opposed to like, you know, probably you should just kick the field goal, but he's going to be aggressive and he's going to go forward on fourth down and we're going to get those opportunities to turn the threes into sevens. And so I like that as well. Now on the flip side of this, I always want to give the flip side of this. Like the path to the under is fairly simple, which is like, yeah, you can throw it a ton. But if you're just going three and out all over the place, then it doesn't matter. Right. Like, I mean, and there's a chance that could happen. I mean, we watched Tampa despite last week's explosion, which by the way, Baker in the week before week 18 looked like he could hardly move. He was struggling to talk.
Yeah.
And then goes out and has the best game of his entire life in week. Just one time in my life, just once. I want to be treated like an injured quarterback for a week. I want to feel that in my brain. What do they get? What is the treatment that's going on here? What kind of awesomeness are they getting injected to them in the hours leading up to this game? It has to be better than any drug on the face of the planet. I want to be an NFL quarterback. The NFL quarterback's experience. That's what we should do.
So you want a 300-pound dude with running at full speed landing on you?
No, what we'll call it is the injured quarterback experience. And so, when people come, for a week, you're just treated like an injured quarterback. And so you just have people waiting on you hand and foot for 7 days leading up until, whatever. This is amazing. How much do people pay for this?
That's his fantasy.
That's his fantasy. What's your deepest, darkest fantasy? And it'll be whatever drug Baker Mayfield got last week. That's what it is. That's what I like. But again, if the offense looks like it did in week 18, then this has no shot, right? Because Baker was inaccurate. They were three and out all over the place. It didn't matter that they threw a ton, because if you're not completing passes, it really doesn't matter. But the efficiency of Detroit throwing has been there all season long. They've been very, very good with it. And then, like I said, I think Tampa is going to just be forced into throwing the ball. If you go back and look the last time these teams played, Tampa actually decided that they were not going to just bang their head against the wall. If you look, Rashad White only had 7 carries in that game, right? I mean, they just were like, all right, it doesn't work. We're just going to throw, And so I think that's going to be the path to least resistance here for them as well. And then also, let's just go back into the other thing is, it's in a dome, right? I mean, we're no weather concerns, no anything. This is perfect playing conditions for both of these teams to go out and kind of do their thing.
All right, Chiefs, Bills, the game.
Yes. I played the under. As soon as this thing came out, I thought 46.5 was egregiously high, and I thought that this was just going to plummet, and it hasn't. So again, like I said, I don't know if I'm on the right side of anything this week, but I look at a Kansas City offense that is just, until last week, has struggled all season long. And are we going to just assume that all of a sudden Rashee Rice is now, the Jerry Rice, and he's going to get the 8 carries and 1 3? I don't think that that's the case in this game. And then also on the other side of the ball, the Bills have just become incredibly run heavy. They really, really, really want to run the ball. Josh Allen is running the ball a whole lot more. The design quarterback runs are getting called more for this team. Then you want to throw in, sure, we can bring up the weather factor as well. It's not going to be bad, but it's not going to be ideal either conditions.
20 degrees.
The 15-ish mile an hour winds, the gusts into the 20, 25-ish range. Yeah, it's whatever.
You got to love the week-to-week reaction.
Call me.
We're like, oh, it's going to be cold. And they're like, 20 degrees, no problem.
No problem.
I'd be freezing. I'd be dying still.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, it's going to be miserable for a normal human being. But, these are not normal human beings. No. Yeah, we know that. These guys are not normal. The inefficiencies from the Kansas City offense that I don't think are going to be able to be replicated this week, that Rashee Rice is going to go nuclear. Then on the Buffalo side of things, how incredibly run heavy that they have been, but they've been efficient being run heavy. And so when you're run heavy and you're efficient, keep moving those chains, long sustained drives. And then we've seen a couple of different times, they've stalled out in the red zone as well. They get down there, and because they're so run heavy, then it kind of makes it to where they can't necessarily execute that down there close to the goal line. They go to throw it, and then it hasn't worked out for them so far. So I look at all that. I am a little bit nervous about the Buffalo injuries on the defensive side of the ball when it comes to the under play here, because if there's anybody in the world that could exploit that, it certainly would be the Chiefs and Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. But even if the Chiefs have a great, day, I don't know if the Bills are going to be able to light up the scoreboard in this one either, with the way that they've been playing offense and the way they want to play offense now. So I think it all leans towards an under for me. This one, it's 45.5 now. Okay, so at least a point in my direction. So that's all right. I'd still play it at 45.5. I thought it would get to 44, to be perfectly honest with you. So I'm still good with that.
Who's in the Super Bowl?
Good gracious, man. I mean, it's do we love any of these teams? I mean, I guess San Francisco. If you look, it's hard to find warts on, because they're so multiple. It's hard to find warts on them.
I'm sensing you really don't like Baltimore that much.
I have a fear of what Baltimore looks like if they ever get down 10 points in a game. What does that offense look like?
Yeah.
Because they are the best bullies ever. They can just step on your throat and just beat you down when they're ahead. I just wonder what that team looks like if they're down.
By the way, Dalvin Cook called up from the practice squad to add to the running, and Mark Andrews, a game time decision at this point.
That's so wild.
Is amazing.
Yes.
Because that was the hip drop tackle. Yes. Remember that whole thing?
And again, these guys are just not human. They're not humans. Yes.
Not humans. Mateo, are we going to see you again in following weeks, or was this your end here?
I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Well, if it's the end, we really appreciated you coming in every Friday. Let's have you come another one. Why not?
There's still football.
Let's cling to all the games. Matt Brown, everybody. All Angles Football Betting Podcast. And, of course, The Handle. What time is The Handle these days?
It's all over the place. Check your local listings.
There you go. Matt Brown, everybody. Levitard next on DK. We're coming back with more NFL props next at VSiN.